We welcome you to worship. So excited that you are here today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us contact information, then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask our ushers, we do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several announcements draw your attention to there in the bulletin, upcoming events and opportunities for the week. There will be a children's time today. Right down here during the first, or right after the first hymn. Invite all the kids to come down and join me right there. Regular schedule this afternoon. Make note of all the normal youth and music activities that are happening. Tomorrow, no Monday morning Bible study tomorrow in honor of Veterans Day, so no Bible study in the morning. Let's see. Michael Groover, come on down. And then we're excited about so many things that are happening in our church, including Operation Christmas Child. We are in the time to collect the items to go in the shoeboxes. Those boxes are right outside Smith Hall in the hallway as you leave. So please help us collect those items. Michael.
Hey, good morning. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. As I'm sure all of y'all are aware, yesterday was our pancake breakfast cook-off with the RAs and the GAs. Want to let everybody know we ended up making a profit of about $1,100. We appreciate that. The thanks really goes to the boys and the girls. They did an excellent job. They stayed super focused. I hope everybody that was here came out and got to be treated by our great waiters and waitresses that we had. We want to be a special thanks to each and every one of you guys for coming out and for supporting us, your donations, your support, the help in the kitchen, the help out in the dining room. We thank each and every one of you for what you did for us and the continued support that you give to the RAs and the GAs. So thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to add another word, too, on that. The young people did such an outstanding job in waiting on those tables. I mean, it was hard not to just keep eating more. If you know what I mean, you were there because every few minutes they'd say, "What can I bring you? What can I bring you?" And you looked at their sweet faces and you just wanted them to tell them to bring you something. So everything was great. The cooking of the pancakes, it all went great. Anyway, I would just like to say that the caregivers of the Sunday school classes will meet Sunday, November the 17th at 4:30 in Adult 4. Kathy Chinlin and I were talking before the service, and so we're looking forward to helping you to reach out to the people in your classes. Also, you see here where it mentions the College Parkers meet Thursday at 11:30. A special note on that, we have a 60-person choir from Calvary coming to present a musical here in our sanctuary. So anybody is welcome to come and to listen. And if you'd be here between 12:15-ish, you could hear that. So everyone's welcome for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Krista. Any other announcements? Are we good? Raymond and his family are away for today. We want to continue to pray for them. He is with family, and they are remembering. His grandmother passed away several months ago, and they're having a family time together. So we want to continue to lift them up this weekend, and that's why you get me for your message. So it'll be short, we hope. We want to say a special welcome to our guests today. We are especially blessed by your presence. If you're a guest, or you've given us your information on the pew pad, we thank you for that. Just raise your hand right where you are, and ushers are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give you a packet of information. Inside, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find the newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. We have a little bit of church business to do, so I'm going to invite Karen come forward.
Good morning. I'm going to call us into church conference for the sole purpose of voting on deacon candidates for this coming year. And just a couple of housekeeping things. For those of you who are visiting with us, we are so glad you're here, and we just beg your indulgence as we take a few minutes to do some business, and we'll be finished very shortly and jump right into worship. And then also, you do need to be a member of the church in order to vote, so please do not take a ballot if you're not. And also, if you happen to be in the 9 o'clock service and voted in there, please do not take a ballot in here. Okay, so we'll invite the ballots will be passed out and pencils. So please take one if you are a member who has not yet voted. And as you vote, then pass the ballots back to the center aisles and they'll be picked up. Just to help those who are passing out the ballots, if you would raise your hand if you are a voting member, a member who will be voting in this service, and they'll know how many ballots to pass down that aisle. As you pass your ballots in, please pass the pencils back along with them.
John will appreciate that.
Everyone's ballot turned in? Okay, meeting is adjourned.
You know, the people in Washington, they could probably use a few lessons from us in getting votes done. That was very impressive. Thank you, Karen. Today is we celebrate Veterans Day tomorrow. We wanted to take a few moments to recognize all those who have served in our armed forces. If at some point, would you please stand right where you are? We are honored to be in this service with you, and we thank you for keeping us free by serving and volunteering. We are thankful. We are reminded by your service of the one who gives us freedom from sin, the ultimate freedom, as we come into worship. And we are here because we are free, free in this country, but also because God has made us free. And so as we continue to be thankful for all the ways God has blessed us, let us prepare for worship. Thank you.
Let's pray together. We come this morning to praise the name Jesus. Lord, we know that your Spirit is present in this place as we worship this morning. And Lord, we welcome you not into this building, Lord, but into our lives. Lord, let everything that is done in the next few minutes be to your honor and to your glory. Lord, help it to change us so that we might become more like you. Lord, help us to give ourselves completely. Lord, that our lives themselves might bring you glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
today. We invite all the kids. Come on down. Come on down. Right here. We know the way to pad our attendance. That's good. Get the children's choir here. So glad that y'all are here this morning. Crisscross applesauce. Crisscross applesauce. Then I'll know you're ready to listen. Crisscross applesauce. All right. Hey, guys, y'all come on. Y'all can come. Can y'all slide this way a little bit? Everybody slide this way. Scoot. Scoot this way. I put on deodorant. You can scoot this way. All right. Good. Y'all sit right there. Okay. So glad that y'all are here today. I have a question. If you had to describe the color red without pointing at something, what does red look like? You think of fire, okay? So if it's hard, right, to describe a color without pointing. So Hampton said, like my tie, what about the color yellow? Yellow. The sun, okay? So if you want to describe the color Carolina blue, how would you describe? The sky, okay? If you wanted to do, pink, how would you describe? Breast cancer. That's a good, marketing works. That's good. But how would you describe it without pointing at, we're actually doing the color? How would you describe what pink is like? It's very bright. Vibrant, but what is vibrant and pink like? Is it hard sometimes to describe a color? Well, let me ask you this question.
Pink is manly.
Let me ask you this question. Pink is manly, especially during the month of October. Pink is manly. But what does God look like? He's a human? Big? The sky? He's a man? In the heavens? What does God look like? Huh? He like blue? What do you think? Bigger than the boogeyman. That's exactly right. Well played, Mom and Dad. He's bigger than the boogeyman. You know what? You know what? I know what God looks like. And do you know the Bible tells us what God looks like? The Bible tells us that Jesus is God. So when we see Jesus, we see God. When somebody asks you, well, you've never seen God, we know about Jesus, don't we? And if we know about how Jesus loved us, the miracles that he did, how he treated one another, that is what God looks like. Sometimes it's hard to describe him, but you can always say, you want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you gave us Jesus to show us what you look like, to show us what you want us to do. Help us to take his example and live it out, whether it's school, on the playground, in our classroom, with our mom or our dad or our brother or our sister. Help us to be more like Jesus, because that helps other people see what you look like. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go back to your seats.
I tell you, that would be a good title for a message. Jesus is bigger than the boogeyman. That's right.
Don't steal it.
Don't steal out. The supremacy of the Son of God is what we're focusing on in 1 Colossians verses 15 through 20. And I invite you to focus on these verses also by opening the scripture with me at this time if you'd like to. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word.
No, I'm not Charlie Jones, if you're looking in the bulletin. Charlie had an attack of kidney stones this morning and asked me to fill in, so think about him if you will, and will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Please help us to hear God speak to us in many ways, and to really listen to his message. We want to especially remember all of our veterans today. We are grateful for their service and sacrifices. Now please accept these tithes and offerings and let them be used to further glorify your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
For me to be in front of you today, I appreciate the opportunity just to share God's word with you. I was, as we've come out of the series that we've been in the last several weeks, as Raymond has discussed how to study God's word and the ways to do that and the power that is found in studying scripture, I wondered how to follow that. What's the next step for us as we're looking at Thanksgiving and Christmas just coming very soon, and I was wondering what would God have me say, or what would God put on my heart? Hopefully, it is His words and not mine this morning. And sometimes when we listen to a speaker, a sermon, or we listen to a preacher, or we listen to somebody teaching Sunday school, they're talking English, but we don't understand what they're saying. Have you ever been in one of those times? I know they're talking my language, but I have no clue what they're saying. Well, I got to thinking about that this morning in the 9 o'clock service. To visualize that, I got a video that showed NFL players, football players on the sidelines saying things. You can't tell what they're saying, but somebody overdubs with bad lip reading. And it's very funny. Go on YouTube. But I thought, well, that probably wouldn't quite translate. But I thought, anybody remember the Kung Fu movies? You remember the Kung Fu movies? And they would English overdub the Japanese or whatever they were speaking with English. You know what I'm talking about? Where you see their mouth moving, but then the English words never match up with the mouth. You know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we got some Kung Fu fans out there. All right. That's kind of what happens sometimes in understanding God's word and trying to, I don't get it. I know that I'm reading this in English, but it just doesn't make sense. How many of us have had that happen? God, I don't understand what you're trying to do here. I read your word, but I don't get it. Why are you doing things this way? It's not the way I would want them done. How do we go from studying God's word and applying it to our lives, that it makes a difference in who we are? And we come to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And this morning, at the risk of you falling asleep, I want you to hear these words. We're going to go through them throughout the message today, but I'm going to read through it as it was first delivered. Obviously not in English, it would have been delivered in Greek at the time, but I'm going to read it, and I want you to hear it. You're welcome to close your eyes to remove distractions, but I want you to hear, just listen to God's word from the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Will you pray with me? Father, as we hear your word, as we read it, as we seek understanding and wisdom, we know that it only comes from you. Have your way with these words and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a very interesting way that John opens his gospel. Anybody, what did the first verse sound like? In the beginning, what's that sound like? Genesis, right? Creation story. In the beginning. Now, the four Gospels, if you've ever studied this, very different ways of starting their Gospels. Mark, he is a man of action. He is straight into what Jesus gets baptized, and he's straight to doing his thing. In Luke, a little bit different. Luke takes his time. He starts with the foretelling of John the Baptist and Jesus' birth, and he gives the genealogy of Jesus from Jesus to Adam. Now, Matthew, a little different. Matthew is focused in on more of a Jewish audience. He starts with the genealogy of Jesus, but where does he start? He starts at Abraham. It's pretty important. If you're talking to a lot of the Jewish people, you start with Abraham, right? You go from genealogy from Abraham to Jesus. You see how Jesus comes from the line of Abraham. But John, he's different. He goes all the way back to the creation story. In the beginning. John, we think, scholars tell us that the problem of these first several verses were a hymn that he wrote while he was writing 1 John, 2 John, and he added to his gospel. It is a beautiful prologue for what is to come throughout the gospel of John. He's telling us, he's setting us up for the message for the rest of the book. And he says, in his first verse to set up his entire gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word has a lot of connotation for Jewish hearers. The idea spanned that God would intercede. The Word, that is an idea that Jewish audiences understood. And John knew that. It's throughout the Old Testament. But also the word logos had a meaning for Stoic Greek philosophers. Their idea was that the impersonal reason was in charge of the design of everything. And that was their word. Logos was the word that they used to describe who created everything, this impersonal reason, which was thought to govern the universe. And so John, in his genius, took a word that meant something to the Jewish audience and something to the Greek audience, and he turned it on its head. And he said, in the beginning, Jesus, the Word, was right there. Father, Son, Spirit. At the moment creation happened, Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was both divine and human at the same time. When he came to this earth, he was not a figment of our imagination. He was both man and God. This is a huge theological statement from John. It's said like this: he is the greatest of all people. He is the Messiah of Jewish expectation, but more, he is the Son of God, the divine messenger from the Father. Any reading of this gospel that omits this supreme and ultimate claim for Jesus misses its central affirmation. That comes Gary Byrne, who wrote his commentary on the Gospel of John. Jesus is the greatest of all people. Divine, human, pre-existent, incarnate. He existed before time. He broke through time to come to us. But it's interesting that it's the Word, the Logos. Think of it like this. God was trying to communicate with you and me. What did he do when at the creation story? What happened? God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light, right? He said, he spoke the world into existence. With his voice, he made things happen. The Word, the communication. Jesus was God's Word to you and me. The ever-present, pre-existing during creation, the one who created before time, who was existing before time, before creation, he broke into this world to communicate with me and you. So sometimes when you're not sure, what is this? What is the Bible about? What I don't understand what Scripture is saying. I don't understand why they want me to do this. Or look to Jesus when you and I are confused about God. Look to Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, as we read in Colossians. He's the one that helps as we talk to the kids. How do you describe what God looks like? You look at Jesus. There came a man, verse 6 through 9, we see John the Baptist comes. And his job is to tell everybody, hey, the true light is coming. He says in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. I wonder sometimes, we go looking for answers for our questions in a lot of places, don't we? We look for answers, if we just make enough money, if I get that next promotion, if I'm in this particular relationship, if this person finds value in me, if I spend my time doing this, if I attain this, then I will be all right. If I just listen to this late night infomercial, I know for $500 I can become a real estate magnate. You know, in that sometimes we put our trust in things that we think will bring us truth. The reality is Jesus is the true light. When we look anywhere else for answers, we fall short. In verses 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How often do we complain? God just doesn't speak anymore. I can't hear God. I don't know what he's saying. Has anybody ever said, God, I don't know what you're doing? Has anybody ever had that prayer? We're confused by what's going on in the world around us. We don't understand what God is doing. I just don't think God speaks anymore. Well, John said it. Jesus was in the world. He was right in front of us. And people refused to see him. Everywhere we look, we find God. When it's in Christ Jesus, he was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The one who created you and me is left unrecognizable by you and me because we're looking with the wrong set of eyes. Many times we feel like we've got it. We're smart enough. We're wise enough. We can handle it. If God's not going to do it like I think it needs to be done, or God does something that we think, what is he doing? He doesn't know what. I'm just going to take over. We're not patient. We don't give him the time of day that he needs and that he wants from us, because many times we think we've got it all together, or we're too prideful to admit our fallenness. In a speech that Abraham Lincoln made in 1863, he said this, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. So many times we put God and that part of our life into this box. And when I'm at church and at certain times when certain people are around, I'll pull this box out. But he doesn't integrate with every area of our lives. From how we treat our waiter and waitress, how we tip, how we treat the other people on the road, even the ones that cut us off, how we treat our moms and our dads, sons and our daughters, our spouses, say everything about what we believe. So often we have been given so much, and yet we think it's of our own strength when everything that we have been given comes from him. And finally, in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the bottom line for John's gospel. He's saying, God came down, he became flesh, the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. Think about that. From the beginning of time, God's fingerprints have been on creation. Even creation testifies to his existence. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Creation testifies. And then, God trying to get our attention, he sends Jesus to communicate the truth and grace of his love. And yet, some can cease or choose not to see him. Folks, God has taken the initiative to get your attention and my attention. He has said everything he needs to say in the life of Christ. The choice is up to us whether we live on it or not, whether we act on it or not. It's not in the self-help books. It's not in the media. It's not even to the person to your left or to your right, as much as you may love them. Ultimately, it is in Christ. There was a man who once got lost in the desert, and he wandered for some time with nothing to drink and was literally dying of thirst. When he wandered upon, he saw a shack in the distance, and he walked towards the shack, and he came to an old, dusty water pump there in the ground. There was a jug of water, and all full of water, and on the jug there was a note. It said, pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do this, you will get all the water you need. Now here's a guy, he has been walking around, he's dying of thirst. What would you do? What would I do? We would chug that water, right? That's what we do, right? We are thirsty. I'm grabbing the first thing I see because we are people of the moment, right? I have a need. I'm going to fill it. And so he had a choice to fill his need or to follow the instructions. So at the risk of losing all his water, he poured all of that water into the pump. He pushed it one time. Nothing happened. Two times. Nothing happened. Three. Four. Finally, on the sixth pump, water came gushing out of the pump. Can you imagine the feeling at that moment? He had so much water, he drank it to his heart's content. He filled up every jug that he had. He took a shower in it. There was so much water. He was overflowing with what he needed. But he had to follow the instructions. Because he was willing to give up that momentary satisfaction, and he followed the instructions, water was overflowing. Now, the note also said, after you have finished, please refill the jug for the next traveler. Well, the man refilled the jug, and he added to the note, please prime the pump. Believe me, it works. Folks, we have the same choice to make. We can go from one temporary fix to another in our life, looking here and there. But if we miss God communicating with us through Christ, we miss all the overflowing living water that He has for us. I'm not sure where you are in your story, in your faith journey with God. Maybe you haven't begun one. Maybe you haven't trusted Christ, that He is who He says He is. I know that He is the God-man. He saved me. He gives me purpose. He gives me life. Even on those days that I doubt, He gives me the faith that I need to keep moving. That's my God, the one who has forgiven me, saved me. He is full of truth and grace for your life and for mine. Maybe you've kind of segregated God to one part of your life, and you know that He needs to be through all of it, to dwell in everything. We would love to talk with you about rededicating your life to Christ. If you're interested in membership, I'll be glad to talk with you about that. This is an incredible body of Christ, a body of faith who celebrates children leading in worship, who celebrates different kinds of giftedness. This is a place that you could come and to grow. Ultimately, we want you to find Christ and the peace that comes from knowing His truth and His grace. In just a moment, we'll be singing hymn number 490. And I'll be down front. Those who wish to come and to talk, come and to accept membership, or if you have not accepted Christ, do not miss another opportunity. Today is your day to taste the living water and to see God communicate straight to you. Will you pray with me? Father, you are speaking to us all in different ways through the proclaiming of your word that reveals Jesus to us. May we act on what we have heard. You broke into time and space just to communicate with us. Give us the courage and the strength to respond back, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand and sing.
Let's go.
It's a blessing to be a part of worship together today. We invite you, after the benediction response, that you would just spend time fellowshiping with one another, greet each other, give hugs, high fives, encourage one another as we go out into the world. Let us pray together. Father, as we leave this place, we know that we walk with you. Each step that we take, we pray that we do it in your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.